In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, proclaiming the Word of God. I remember when Paul was in Ephesus, he asked the 12 men, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And you know what they said? "We did not even know that there was a Holy Spirit." Unfortunately, that is the way that most Christians respond in their lives. "We did not even know that there was a Holy Spirit." Yesterday I had children, and we go before the Blessed Sacrament once a month, and I try to teach them, and I was teaching them about Jesus being a miracle worker, and that the apostles were miracle workers. We got the scriptures of the apostles with the third chapter of Acts and the man that was lame. And I said, "Do you think that have you ever had a miracle?" And this little boy raised his hand and said, "I've had two." And he told me about the time that his grandfather was dying and that he prayed, and the grandfather is still living now. He's well. And the same thing with his uncle. So I said, "You know what? Miracles happen. God wants us to know that he's all-powerful and that miracles happen." And I told them a couple of miracles that happened in my life, that Jesus Christ does miracles today. And that's real. We're not going to hide it. I also said, "You know, I asked for a miracle for my brother, and I didn't get it. But I said, my brother, I hope, is having a better day today than anyone else. So he is in heaven, I hope." And I said to him, "You know, you should expect miracles, because Jesus is a miracle worker, and the apostles are miracle workers, and God wants us to be miracle workers with our prayer." And that's real. And they, you know, they were all listening. But that little boy really was wonderful. He knew that he had two miracles. He knew because he prayed. That is wonderful. I'm looking at the 20th chapter of Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to be jumping around today. And it says, "We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread." See, they're still Jewish. "And they came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days." So they lived in Troas for 7 days. "And upon the first day of the week," that's Sunday, "when the disciples came together to break bread," what did they do on Sunday? They celebrated the Eucharist. No longer on Saturday, but on Sunday. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. So they're breaking bread, and it's not just breaking bread. It is called the Eucharist. Eucharist means thanksgiving, thanking the Father for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the bread becomes the body of Christ and the wine becomes the very blood of Christ. "So upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." Now, Paul is a preacher. And when you've got a crowd of people, you want to preach to them, and you want to preach to them, and you want to preach to them. "He was ready to depart the next day, and he continued his preaching until midnight." My Lord. "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." So Paul is preaching, probably preaching about grace, probably preaching about the cross, probably preaching about the blood of Jesus. Paul is preaching, and he preaches until midnight, because tomorrow he's going to be leaving Troas. "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep as Paul was preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." So Some people said that Paul was a boring preacher. I don't believe that. I would tell you that he was a long preacher. He was going to be leaving the next day, and he wanted the people to get the things that he was saying because he's leaving Troas. And poor Eutychus is by the window, and he falls into a deep sleep, and he goes down to the ground, dead, dead, dead. Now what happens with that? And Paul went down and fell on him and embraced him and said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And when therefore he had come up again, and they broke bread, the Eucharist, and they ate and talked a long while, even till day of break of day, so he departed. And they brought up the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. In other words, my Lord, this guy was dead and now he's alive. Paul wasn't going to stop preaching. He'd go and preach and preach and preach because he's on his way out of Troas, and he's going to say the things he needs to say. Sometimes, you know, we need to preach and preach and preach. I remember once I was in New York. I've never preached so much in my whole life, and I got in trouble that day because the priest that was there didn't like what I was saying. I was only preaching the gospel. And he didn't like what I was saying. So I got in trouble that day. But I've never preached so long as I preached that day. I was preaching and preaching and preaching. I went on for an hour and a half each time. And, you know, I got in trouble that day. Imagine getting in trouble because you're preaching. But you know what? God took me out of it. Because God is good, and he is the Lord, and I don't have to worry about getting in trouble. I wasn't preaching anything but Jesus. And the priest, who was an old priest, didn't like what I was saying. I was talking about miracles. He didn't like what I was saying. I said, you know what? I'm only saying what the gospel says. And if you don't like it, I guess you have to go the other way. But, you know, people have nothing better to do but to get people in trouble that are doing the will of God. You see, I'm sure I'm much different than that priest. That doesn't mean that I would call anybody about his preaching. You know, he probably preached very differently than I do. That's okay. It's not the way we preach, it's what we preach. Are we preaching Jesus? Are we preaching his cross? Are we preaching his blood? Are we preaching his mercy? Are we preaching his justice? Are we preaching his grace? It's all about Jesus. The whole scripture is all about Jesus. Genesis to Revelation is all about Jesus. I'm looking at the 20th chapter of Acts, and I'm looking at the 17th verse. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church at Ephesus. And when they had come to Paul, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all times, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and I have done it from house to house." In other words, Paul says, you know what, I've been preaching and preaching and preaching, and I've been preaching what I need to preach. I even go from house to house preaching so that the believers are going to know what the real gospel is, because you know what, when I leave, he's going to say the wolves are going to come and they're going to try to give you another gospel. So Paul preached publicly, and he preached from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was stuck on Jesus Christ. He was converted on the Damascus Road, and he could do nothing but preach Jesus Christ. And I wish preachers could hear me today that could say, we're not going to preach anything but Jesus Christ. Yes, when Paul went into a place, he went to the synagogues first, and he showed them that Jesus was the Messiah by taking the scripture, either the 22nd Psalm or the 53rd chapter of of Isaiah, and he showed them that Jesus was the Lord and that Jesus is the Messiah. Now behold, I go bound into the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit has witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. In other words, he's off to Jerusalem, and he's going to be afflicted. He's going to be afflicted. He's going to be chained. But none of these things move me, neither do I count my life. In other words, that doesn't bother me, because I know who I'm living for. That doesn't bother me that they're going to put me in chains, because I know who I'm living for. I'm living for Jesus. Neither do I count my life dear to me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of grace, the grace of God. This, I'm going to tell you, it's all about grace. It is grace. We are saved by grace through faith, producing works. But grace is what we are saved by. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that flows from Calvary. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that flows from Calvary. You have not been saved because you wanted to be saved. You were saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that grace led you to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for you, that he shed his blood for you, that he was buried for you, and that he rose from the dead. You were saved by grace. Hallelujah. By grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Paul was the apostle of grace. He knew it was the gift of God because he was converted as he was killing and putting to death and putting to prison Christians. So Paul's going to talk about grace all the time because it wasn't by his works that he was saved, because he was killing Christians and he was putting them into jail. But he's going to talk about grace. I'm going to talk about grace right now. How much we need the grace of God today. How much we need that grace that flows from Calvary today. How much we need the grace of God today so that we can witness to people. When was the last time you witnessed to people? When was the last time you spoke about Jesus? Or when was the last time you prayed for someone over the phone? Well, if you say, you know, I haven't done that, I'm going to encourage you, do it. Do it, because, you know, people need to hear of the grace of God. They need to hear of the love of God shown in the person of Jesus Christ. As I said, Paul only preached Jesus. And now, behold, I know that all among you I have been preaching the kingdom of God. You shall see my face no more. In other words, after this preaching that I'm doing, you're not going to see me anymore, because I'm off to Jerusalem, and finally from Jerusalem to Rome, eventually to Rome, Jerusalem to Caesarea, from Caesarea to Rome. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. In other words, I spoke the whole counsel of God. You did not get shortchanged. I spoke it all over and over. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, to the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You see, Paul knows that the church of God was purchased with the blood of Jesus. That the church of God today was purchased with the blood of Jesus. But do we hear that being preached among the people, that we were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus? For I know this, that after my departure shall wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. In other words, the devil is going to come in the form of people and preach another gospel. Now you know the gospel. It's the gospel of grace, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But wolves are going to come in. And what's the wolf look for? He's looking to kill the faith of the people. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. In other words, he was there 3 years. 3 years preaching, 3 years forming a foundation on Jesus Christ. 3 years going from house to house, not tiring of preaching. 3 whole years in Ephesus, and now he's about to leave Ephesus. And when he leaves Ephesus, he knows that other people are going to come in. Like in Galatia, the Judaizers said that you need to be circumcised to be a real Christian. So Paul knows that there will be diabolical preachers coming in. But he says, I preach Jesus Christ and his blood, and it's all about the grace of God. Therefore, watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn every one of you, night and day, and with tears. He was a real shepherd, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What does he commend them to? I commend you to the word of grace and to God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And what is the inheritance? Heaven. Heaven. Oh yes, no one is in heaven unless it was the grace of God that brought them there. I don't care if they prayed and they could move mountains. It is the grace of God that brings us to heaven. It is not by good works. It is not because I'm a priest. It is the grace of God that causes me to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ and then to do good works that have been already chosen for me to do. That's what it says in the letter to the Ephesians. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or clothes. In other words, you know what? I didn't do this for money. I didn't do this because I was going to have my hands filled with gold and silver. I didn't do this. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. You remember that Paul had a business. He didn't want to take money from the churches. He had a business where he made tents, and that's how he got his money. He says, you know, I didn't do this stuff for filthy lucre. No one can pay enough for the preaching of the gospel. I didn't do it because people gave me money. I did it because I was compelled to do it. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, Paul received that word that is not in the Gospels, but Paul received the word of Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is true. What have you given lately? Have you given your time? Have you given your money? Have you given your talent? Have you given your treasure? It is better to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept. See, this is the pastor. This is the shepherd. He's leaving. They're never going to see his face anymore. They all wept and fell on Paul's neck and kissed Paul, sorrowing most of all for words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him into the ship. I tell you that there should be tears when the shepherd leaves. There should be tears when a shepherd leaves. If he has preached the gospel, there should be tears that people continue to weep because their shepherd has gone or has died. There should be tears. In the next day, I'm on chapter 21, verse 8. The next day, we that were at Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. Now, do you remember what I'm talking about? One of the seven. He was one of the seven deacons. They enter into the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven deacons, and he abode with Philip. And Philip had four daughters who were virgins, and they had a prophetic gift. Well, I can just imagine the prophetic gift that they were using in front of Paul, saying the things that they needed to say in the power of the Spirit. And that same man had four daughters, virgins, that had the prophetic spirit. And as we tarried there many days, there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind you and own this girdle, and shall deliver you into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Because the prophet said he's going to be bound in Jerusalem. But Paul is not going to listen. He's going to be bound. He says, you know what? That's why I came. I want to go and preach to the people in Jerusalem too. And if they bind me up in chains, you know, I'm going to have to just deal with that. Then Paul answered, What do you mean, weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, don't try to stop me from doing God's will. This is Paul. Oh yes, this is Paul. Don't try to stop me, even though these things await me. Don't try to stop me from doing God's will, because then you'd be doing the work of the devil. But you see, Jesus promised persecution. He didn't promise arthritis. Jesus promised persecution, and Paul is ready to take the persecution. He says, Don't break my heart, for I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. In other words, let the will of God be done in you. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. There went us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them Manson and Cyprus of the old disciples, whom we should lodge with. And when we had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Things have changed. Remember when he went to Jerusalem the first time, they were all scared about him. But now they receive him gladly. And the day followed, Paul went with us to James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted the elders, he declared particularly that God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. In other words, he started to witness about what God did in Ephesus, what God did in Colossae, what God did in Corinth. He started to witness about the things that God did. Isn't it wonderful to hear the preacher talking about the things that God did? Not only talking about the words of the gospel, but I want to tell you what God did through my discipleship. Not that I did it, but God did it. God did. I told you about the priest, that the head of an order, and he prayed with the woman who had cancer, and she was completely healed, and he came back to his community like a little kid, said, God healed this little lady. He was like a little kid jumping up and down. Do you believe that God healed this lady? We need to do the same thing. We need preachers who are going to tell you what God did. What God did. God is a worker of miracles, as I told the children yesterday. And I said, God wants you to have miracles too. And I told them a couple of the miracles that I saw God doing, about the man whose brain was coming through his ear, and I had prayed with him, and he went for that operation and didn't need it. I said, you know who did that? I said, God did that. That's a miracle that God did for that man. And his name is Italo. Italo is his name, like Italy. And he goes around telling people what God did for him. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, and I hope you're going to start talking about what God is doing. And may He bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.